Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. So I'm Ken Edwards with the NCL. With me is Phil Davidson with the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. So check this out. I'm showing you this. I'm showing this to our TikTok audience as well. Christmas, I go to New York, and my mom is here, open this present. I open it, and it's like this radio. And I can't see that well anymore, so I'm looking across the room. It's like, I didn't even know it's got WGN here.
It's like a 1950s radio.
Yeah, but I thought it was a real radio. And yeah. I didn't know WGN had radios. Why didn't we get that? We get a hat, you know? So then it turns out like it wasn't really a radio at all. And my mom just put WGN on it. On the back, she put the worker's mic. Now, mind you, my mom...
It's a lunchbox.
I didn't realize that until I got it back to Chicago. I'm like, oh, wait a second. This thing opens. It's a lunchbox. So anyway, but my mom has tremors. Like, it's a thing called essential tremors or a handshake. And she went to, like, you know, Michael's or somebody and was able to get these stickers and put it on and did a damn fine job. So thank you, Mom.
It's very cool.
Pretty cool, huh?
And what a thoughtful gift.
I know. I'm really, really stoked about it. So, actually, I'm using it as a lunchbox today.
She's a good gift giver.
That is for sure. All right. So, check this out. Big news in the state of Illinois.
Yes.
Right? And that is Uber and Lyft drivers are about to get the right, assuming that the bill passes, to organize.
Yeah.
And so, we had talked about this some time ago with the operator engineers. My home local got a neutrality agreement.
Labor peace agreement.
Uber, yeah, something
right.
like that. But now it's gone further, and it's going to be put into law. So
yeah.
Explain
there's been a bill introduced, as we know, which all our listeners know at this point. There is a constitutional provision in the Illinois Constitution that says all employees have the right to collectively bargain. This was something that was basically the genesis of the show.
Yep.
But Uber and Lyft drivers are technically not employees, right?
well, that's what Uber and Lyft would tell
in
you.
In their minds, correct.
Yeah, there's no way they're not employees, by the way.
Under current law, that's how they are classified.
Yes.
Yes, they're classified as independent contractors. So a law would need to be changed to allow them to collectively bargain for wages and working conditions. And so that's what this bill would do for their industry. And there's been some good articles where they've, you know, obviously there's been some press conferences about this. There's been a big promotional push. And some in the articles I was reading, you know, you have Uber drivers that are saying that, you know, they get certain bonuses for a number of hours they drive.
Right.
And then, like, just before they're about to reach their bonus, all of a sudden, the app shuts off, and then they miss the window, and they don't get the bonus.
Shocking.
It's shocking, right? Yeah, yeah. And then Uber gets back to them and says, oh, sorry, there was a glitch in the system. There's always a glitch.
There's a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Matrix of you making money.
Right. So there, and it sounds like their share of the revenue that's generated for a ride, more and more that is going to Uber and Lyft, and less and less is going to drivers. So that's what this is about.
Because, you know, cool. I mean, corporations need money, Phil.
They do.
Yeah, yes. Just like anybody else.
They're people.
They're people. Right? They need money.
They need more.
Come on. So this is going to even the playing field.
This will even the playing field for them. I know that SEIU and the machinists are involved. There's the Illinois Drivers Alliance. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing it in the right state. Let's put it that way.
That's for sure.
We'll see what happens. But, yeah, that was sort of a larger development. I think it will be one of the big topics happening in Springfield this year in one of the...
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you know, did Uber, like they did in Minneapolis, did they threaten to leave the market if this bill passes?
I
haven't heard it.
No, not so far. Okay. I think the quotes have been from Uber's representatives have been, the devil is in the details. So we'll see. But we do know that they did sign a neutrality agreement. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Well, listen, first of all, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Uber, by the way, could have recognized independent contractors because plenty of companies recognize independent contractors and give them collective bargaining agreements.
Do they?
So, yeah, for sure. So you can do that if you want to as a company.
Doing that, I'm sure. They just love voluntarily recognizing contractors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. No, I don't think they love it. But I do know some companies that do it. But in this case, obviously, kicking and screaming will be the last thing that Uber and Lyft want to do. However, it seems like maybe the tides are turning.
Yep.
And, you know, let's see these drivers get what's coming to them. Because you're 100% right. I get into an Uber, and it used to be they told the driver how much they got. And they shut that off, too. And so I always tell the Uber driver, like, hey, do you want to know how much I'm paying for the ride? And they're always like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm paying $10. He's like, I'm getting three.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's crazy. All right, listen, we got a master show for you today. We have a representative from a company called Labor Force.
Yep.
And they're basically like consultants for unions, but like altruistic. They're just trying to make money. And then we have a representative from the New Seasons Labor Union, which is a store in Portland, Oregon, that was able to organize 10 stores by themselves and form their own union and got a darn good contract.
Got a contract.
Massive, right? First one. And so we got them coming up. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. We are psyched today to have Meg Yosef from a new venture called the Labor Force. Welcome, Meg.
Hi, you guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah. Let's go some quick background. How'd you get into the labor movement?
All right. So I got into the labor movement. I worked at the Trader Joe's in Hadley, Massachusetts for over 20 years.
Wow.
And so pretty much my whole adult life, I met my wife there. Like, it's a big part of my life. And in the beginning of 2022, my coworkers and I decided that we wanted to form a union because there were issues at work. Some things had never changed. Some things were changing for the worse.
Sure.
So we decided to organize, which was a life-changing event. My wife was like, please don't do this. It'll take over your life. And I was like, don't worry. It won't. But that turned out to not be the case. We successfully unionized the first Trader Joe's in the whole company.
Oh, wow.
Congrats.
No one expected that. Thank you. No one expected that to come out of Hadley, Massachusetts.
Right.
And we won our election the summer of 2022, and it quickly became a national movement.
Right.
We had crew members all over the country reaching out. We were organizing stores all over the country and got in touch with some people who had been in the labor movement for a long time who wanted to do some public advocacy work with us, and they helped us start our own email list so that we could like supercharge our fight by involving customers and the public. So we had, you know, I think like 100,000, 150,000 folks who we would reach out to, who would help us with donations because we're an independent union.
Right.
Who would call the CEO and yell at him, you know, if one of our coworkers was wrongly terminated.
Sure.
Who would sign petitions. So it was like, you know, a hugely important part of our union was having the public and the customers involved. And so we decided to scale that to include the whole labor movement. So to do public advocacy work and get the public involved in all labor campaigns across the movement. And instead of having each individual group having to like build up the momentum that we did at Trader Joe's United, just build up that momentum and then take it like from fight to fight and kind of point it like a laser beam wherever it was needed. And so that is a big part of the work that we're doing now at the labor force.
Okay. This pivots to the labor force, and explain to our listeners what is the labor force?
So the Labor Force is a nonprofit organization founded in 2024. Although our team has been working with labor groups and unions for longer than that. But we support labor. And so my specialty at the Labor Force is the public advocacy piece. So we are building a huge army of activists and labor supporters who are willing to throw down in any fight. And it's really, you know, like 10, I think only 10% of the U.S. is unionized at this point, but
polls show that
70% of Americans are into unions and support labor. So it's a huge gap. So the question was like, how do we get all this enthusiasm and channel it somewhere productive so that we can build a stronger labor movement? And so and also do that in a way that's accessible to everyone. So we have folks on our list who they might be elderly or have a limited income, and they can sign petitions or send letters, and that's their wheelhouse. We have folks who donate to support various labor campaigns. We're also building a group of folks who are going out in person to picket lines or organizing their own events or rallies or protests. And so we're really just trying to supercharge the labor movement by getting all working class people involved. And we do a lot of other work too. We have technologists who help unions with data. We connect labor unions with, you know, independent unions with like an accountant so they can fill out their paperwork correctly. So we really do all kinds of things, but the public advocacy piece is really where my heart is at.
Okay. So this goes into and quite
it's frankly, almost like you're consultants to to labor unions and to potential organizing events and whatever else is needed to help.
You're not a union,
right?
Right?
We're not a union.
Are you a 501c3 or not for profit?
C4.
Gotcha. And so you're like a clearinghouse. A union comes to you and says, "Hey, we need help," and you say yay or nay. And then if so, you're going to get involved in all the various things that you just said, right? Emails, pickets, public advocacy, writing letters, you know, connecting people with, connecting unions with the people that they need to do their business. I have said, continue to say, that labor, you know, what do they say? The definition of insanity, excuse me, is doing the same thing, you know, over and over again, expecting different results. Labor has to change its model and try different things. This is a different thing. And so, like you said, you know, 10% of the workforce is unionized, 70%+ want to be in a union. We simply need to figure out how to get those people into a union.
Now, bridge that gap.
Now you and I, Phil, come from the building trades. We're lucky. We've kind of figured out that, you know, secret sauce, if you will, because we control the market here. Right. But when
we have resources.
We have a lot of resources. But when you're taking on, you know, a Trader Joe's or a Starbucks, they have a lot more resources than, you know, the 500-900 baristas that are trying to organize, you know, 9,000.
Right.
Right. So how are you funded?
You know, a lot of our funding comes either from there are some unions that are large and established and have the resources to
help you guys
pay for service. So they're like, all right, we need some data help.
Let's
do some data help.
Yep.
But for the public advocacy, that work is really awesomely funded by the working class.
Got it.
Because we're like, hey, we, you know, cause in that's organizing Amazon in North Carolina. They're an independent union. You know, we reach out to our listener, like they, you know, last year they had an election. We raised a ton of money for all their election supplies, and that was the working class showing up for the working class making donations to make that happen, which, you know, I wish it didn't have to be that way. I wish that there was enough that we didn't have to ask for donations, but that's the reality of the world we live in. And, you know, people show up, and it's really incredible to see.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about, because I think about this all the time, like what's the woman's name that was married to Jeff Bezos, Mackenzie Scott, is that her name, Phil?
Correct.
You know, she's
drops a lot of money.
She's giving away billions and billions of dollars.
A lot here. Her here in Chicago.
Hell yeah. Have you ever thought about approaching somebody like that and saying, hey, look, you know, you're giving away money to charities. We could use some of that money as well.
We could stick it to your ex-husband.
Exactly.
Right.
But I mean, like, would you ever think about going to folks like that and soliciting donations, going like, hey, give us a grant, you know? Because writing a check for them is 10 cents for you and I.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just my thought.
And Mackenzie, if you're listening, call me. But there we yes. go.
So yeah. if somebody wants more information about yours, what's the website?
The website is thelaborforce.org.
Okay.
Folks can also follow us on Blue Sky and Instagram.
Got it.
And they can also write to us at hello@thelaborforce.org.
Any other ways you want to plug?
Yeah, if folks are part of a workers group or labor union and they are looking for public support, get in touch. We would love to hear from them.
Okay. Let me ask you, I want to go back to Trader Joe's for a second.
Oh, please.
Yeah, what were the lessons there? I'm curious
Because there hasn't been a single contract with Trader Joe's or Starbucks, right?
And
it seems like
they pose a serious threat to the labor movement with all their petitions to the Supreme Court to disband the NLRB, and
right. I mean, they've exercised the nuclear option, saying that the NLRB is unconstitutional the way it's made up, et cetera.
Trader Joe's.
Yes.
Yeah, I was there when that happened, and it was wild. Oof.
And so, what's the go forward plan for those that have tried to organize, you know, have, or at least have, you know, won an election, but, you know, they can't even get to the table because Trader Joe's is saying that we don't need to get to the table. You guys are, it's not constitutional,
yeah.
Right? So what's the go forward position on that?
Well, Trader Joe's is actually still, Trader Joe's and Trader Joe's United are still actively bargaining. I wouldn't
call it bargaining.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that it was in good faith. Right. They have, you know, it's interesting, Trader Joe's with the unconstitutional piece, they offered that as an affirmative defense in a hearing that we had at the NLRB. Right. So they didn't join any of the lawsuits or anything. Uh-huh. And then they just quietly withdrew that from all their future briefs. Like, they just reneged on it, but quietly. And that's kind of how they tend to do things. Trader Joe's really doesn't like to take a stand.
So Meg, this is my question. Trader Joe's, yeah. Right? Outwardly facing progressive, you know, store. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. Because at the end of the day, they're fighting their workers tooth and nail to form a union. Do you guys think about, you know, starting to really get down into brass tacks and hit them where it hurts, right? Because you're not winning the battle of the public, at least here in Chicago, right? Trader Joe's here are packed. I drive past them all the time. They're jam-packed. Like, nobody's... And I don't see anybody standing out there leafleting, picketing, and nothing. I see nothing here in Chicagoland. But you're starting to see the Starbucks baristas go to these distribution centers, right? Have you ever thought about hitting the, like, their choke points, right? Like, where do they get their food? If you put up a picket, like, Teams is not crossing. So, like, have you thought about that? Like, exercising economic, you know, hurt?
Oh, we definitely have. And, you know, I hesitate to speak to it because I'm no longer in union leadership anymore. So I don't want to speak to anybody's plans. It wouldn't feel like my place.
Yeah.
But Trader Joe's United is definitely still active. And, you know, one interesting thing that we had talked about that I'll share with you guys is that Trader Joe's actually, one point that I think the public would be interested in is that we've thought about hitting them at is that Trader Joe's, they also have warehouses, and their warehouses are a hellish place to work.
Right.
And so they have this front of like, so like peeling that back and having people look at that would really show them like, this is what Trader Joe's is really about. And they just have these other workers in the stores that they want people to have that pleasant experience with. So there's a lot of different angles that the union has that there's potential for. And I think that you're spot on that hitting them economically is the way to go.
Thank you for that affirmation.
Yeah.
He just wanted to hear you say that. Yes.
That's the whole reason I had you on.
Fair enough.
No, listen, kudos to what you're doing with the labor force. You know, I've been following you guys on your social media, reading about everything that you've been doing. I think it's wonderful. I'm urging our listeners to go out. If you could spare a few bucks, make a donation. Because what they're doing is different.
Yeah.
It's new.
It's a great idea.
It's trying something different. It's important work, and kudos to you for doing it. We really appreciate you taking the time to jump on this call and get on the phone with us and keep up the good work and keep up the fight, all right?
All right, awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. So we'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come, sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So, continuing with our show today, talking about folks that are doing different things and moving the ball forward for labor.
Yeah.
We're pleased to welcome Janet Scheck from the New Seasons Labor Union, which is in Portland, Oregon, right? Welcome, Janet.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Nice to have you. We don't have many West Coast guests, so
I know,
this
right?
is exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tend to stay in our bubble here a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're branching out.
It's easier that way.
It's okay to branch out, that's for sure. Yes.
Yeah, but we don't know anything about the West Coast.
No, so tell us.
I got to tell you, I, you know, like, I, I'm terrible at geography, and like I was like, I'm pretty sure there's somewhere on the West Coast, and like, no, it's Pacific Northwest. Like, I think that's West Coast, isn't it?
It's adjacent.
Adjacent, yes, I agree.
Thank you. All right, so Janet, check this out. All right, and listeners, check this out. New Seasons Labor Union represents employees at 10 New Seasons Market. And New Seasons Market is a food store, right? Groceries.
Yes.
And kind of progressive groceries, right? Like fancy.
Yes.
Okay. And you would think progressive grocery store, fancy.
Support their workers.
Portland, you know. Yes. All, it would seem like all the stars would align.
Good optics.
And lo and behold, when the New Seasons workers started to organize, and this was some time ago, New Seasons showed their capitalism and fought, right? Am I getting that right, Janet?
Yes, you're right on the money.
All right.
Very similar to Trader Joe's.
That's so, right?
Yes.
And Whole Foods.
Yes.
Right? And so at least Amazon doesn't make any bones about it, or Tesla.
Yes, right. Like, yeah. You
know, we hate workers.
On the surface, it's Shangri-La, and then on the inside, you know, it's a sweatshop. Right.
So, all right. So New Seasons, right? The progressive stores. And how many stores are there altogether in the Pacific Northwest?
In the Pacific Northwest, we have about 22 stores right now.
All right, so it's like a mini chain, basically, right? And is it?
Yeah, this is a regional chain for sure.
All right, is it privately held?
It is currently privately held. Yes.
Okay. All right. Wait till Jeff Bezos buys it.
Yeah. Clock is ticking.
There was a point in time that we were worried that Jeff Bezos might have bought it. There was a point in time.
Wouldn't shock me.
No.
You know, and I've been following this for some time. Initially, the workers tried to organize with the IWW, the Wobblies, right? And that kind of just petered out, went nowhere. But then you guys kind of resuscitated your organizing drive. Talk about that. You've been there for some time. Like, talk about the early days. Like, what made you guys decide to start again?
So I wasn't there in the earliest beginning of that time.
Right.
But I can account some stories how it first started. So how it originally first started was an inspiration from Starbucks Workers United and Amazon Labor Union out in like 2022.
Sure.
And a group of coworkers, a group of workers at the Seven Corners store came together at another coworker's backyard. Shout out to April St. John. And decided to form New Seasons Labor Union.
Yes.
And
that is awesome.
Yeah.
I love a backyard origin story.
Yeah. And you can read it, by the way. You can read this. If you just Google New Seasons and Labor Notes, there's a really good story about what you're talking about on Labor Notes.
Cool.
Yeah. So, all right. So you guys go to the backyard, you start again.
Yeah. And it was starting out as that, as a backyard thing. And it all started because of an egregious attendance policy that was happening.
Okay.
And so when they were very quiet about it, they were no other stores knew about it until they filed for a union election.
Uh-huh.
That's when sometime around May or June, all the stores heard about it. We went into a big meeting to hearing the story, how they organized. I was working at a different store at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still working in the same store now. But I took back all these notes and like went to my coworkers and asked, like, "Hey, you heard about Seven Corners? Like, they just filed a unionized. What do you think about that?" And then we started organizing our own, and we had a chain reaction within the stores to start organizing within ourselves.
Awesome. So that happens. This is 22-ish, right? And
And
this is why we asked you to come on, because it sounds like you have broken through and you got your first contract. And I read your contract.
Can we get a cheer button on that?
You want to hold on a second?
Yes.
Here we go. There we go. Look at that.
Congrats.
Yes.
We know that's not hard. That's not easy to do.
It's not an easy task. So out of all these nascent unions, right, Starbucks, Trader Joe's, Amazon, et cetera, here comes little New Seasons Labor Union, and voila, they have a contract
with 10
stores. And And Jen, I read your contract, and I'm a lawyer, union lawyer, and I have negotiated thousands of contracts during my career. And I will tell you that your contract is fantastic. I thought, I was like, oh, I'm going to pull this up. It's going to be garbage. It's going to be four pages, and it's all going to be management rights. And it was, I was blown away by the contract. So, Janet, let's back up. Let's back up.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
So, you know, resuscitate the union. Moving forward, you guys start to organize. You got 10 stores. You file your petitions. You're going in with less than 50%. You're going in 30-40% just to try and win the elections. But you're winning the elections, right? Yep. Most unions will go in with 70-80%,
yeah.
Right? And you guys are just going and doing
changing it. Hearts and minds.
Yeah, and so you got to have a good ground game to do that. You start winning. You got the things. Now you're trying to get them to the table. Did they come to the table right away?
Yeah, they actually started to come to the table right away. And then we originally did it through Zoom for the first initial couple months. And then they were like, no, we're just going to do it in person. So we have been consistently been coming to the table through that. And so, yeah, they have definitely been coming to the table.
All right. So were they bargaining in good faith? Or were they just, you know, giving you the runaround?
We have definitely gotten the runaround for sure. There are times that we were like, "This is a bargaining UOP."
Good for you.
There were moments that were like, we found things that the company said that was very egregious. But there was a lot of runaround for sure. That's definitely the case.
Okay, and you guys got some support. Did you have a lawyer, like a pro bono lawyer?
Yes, we initially had a pro bono lawyer in the first half of our bargaining sessions, and she was our chief spokesperson for our bargaining sessions. And then later half in the year, we decided that we wanted to speak for ourselves. So our current co-chair was also our bargaining spokesperson, Ava Robbins. She was led the most of the bargaining sessions.
Negotiations, yeah.
And then you get some help from the UE, right? So the UE is the Union of Electrical and Radio. I can't even say who they are, but I will tell you this. Their claim to fame here in Chicagoland, for all of you listeners, if you remember, because I remember because it was cold like it is this weekend, was Republic Windows, where they had the sit-down strike. They occupied the store or the manufacturing plant. That was UE. They're aggressive little union, but they've been around a long time. So they come in and they drop some money for your strike campaign, right? Your strike fund, right?
Yes, we wanted be affiliated with them because we needed some assistance in our strike fund, and also to like really hone down this when we really needed to like preparing for like the big strike towards the end of the end of bargaining, and they were really helpful to us and like getting us resources and staffers to help us.
Can I ask you a question? Why did you not go with a traditional like food and commercial workers or an SEIU or somebody that's more in the wheelhouse?
Yeah, that has more density in your industry.
So there's a two-part way. One part is I think there was a former campaign that we had briefly with UFCW. I was not there for that campaign, so I can't really speak too much on it, but what I heard is it kind of fell through. And so, a lot of the workers who are now also, organizers for this campaign as well wanted a union to represent us and represent, worker-led union made by workers.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we want to keep our autonomy and want to build our structures and see what we want to see how we want to run as a labor union.
I got it. And
UD was able to give us that autonomy and also resources that we needed to help get that first contract.
So you guys decided to go it on your own,
yeah,
right? And so not only is that a bold move, but then, you know, I think, you know, I'm just going to fast forward here a little bit because we don't have a lot of time, but I know you started then ratchet up the pressure, throwing out pickets, right, getting a lot of public involved, and then you decided to strike. And I know that New Seasons are like, oh, okay, then we better get to the table and give them a garbage contract. And you guys refused to take a garbage contract, right? And you said, we're going to stay out until you give us the contract that we wanted. And they caved, and they gave you the contract that you guys wanted. It seemed to me like you got most of everything that you were asking for.
Yeah, we got – there was some stuff that we wanted more, but
of course,
in the end, we still have a really good contract. I know, like, a lot of first contracts is very garbage. And so to know that our contract is actually decent and not like...
It's not just decent. You know, it's really good.
What's the starting pay?
Yeah, what's the starting pay for you guys?
Starting pay for us is $19 per hour.
What does it go up to? Like, what does it top out at?
$19 per hour... I can't remember what it tops out to, but
I can. I know it goes into like almost $30.
Wow.
Yeah. So I read it. They got seniority. Yep. They got grievance. They got everything. You guys built. So
and
what
benefits
I would,
as well.
They have benefits. So yep. What I always said is, you know, don't settle for a garbage contract. Mm-hmm. Build a house, and when you build a house, you got to build a good foundation.
Yeah.
And that's what you guys did. So you assume that now. That contract will be pretty attractive, I would assume, to the other 12 stores that are not organized, unless New Seasons does the old, well, we'll just give you what they got, right? But they don't have the representation.
No.
So.
But to get the contract, that is very impressive.
Yeah.
Truly David versus Goliath. And you went with the route that you guys thought was the most advantageous to you, and you stuck to your principles and...
You
don't see that very often. So
if people want to reach out, Janet, like where would they find more information about your union and maybe, you know, pick your brain? Like maybe there's some other stores out there, regional stores that want to do this. How can they get a hold of you?
So we do have the best way to reach us is through the Instagram. Our Instagram is NSLU. And then you can also reach us through our main email, which is newseasonslaborunion @gmail.com. And if people want to, you know, check out our CBA and our collective bargaining, or like want to organize, if in another New Seasons location wants to organize, you can always hit us up on nslu.org. We have an organize your store,
and that's right. That's where I saw your contract.
Cool,
right? NSU. Mm-hmm. Say it again. NSLU.org. Yeah. Okay. There you go. I think that's the best one. Listen, Janet, keep fighting the good fight. You guys did a fantastic job and achieved something that so far I have not seen out there in the labor movement.
Yeah,
past few years.
This is motivation for all those.
Because you formed the union.
Right.
That's always the easy part.
Yeah,
I can get people to sign a card.
Right.
Yeah, woohoo, let's join the union.
When you say we're never going to get a contract.
Right. But you guys got a contract.
Look at NSLU, they did it.
Yeah. So congratulations, Janet. And
Thank you so much. Yeah.
We're really excited.
Thank you.
You should be proud. I mean, look, we're here talking about this in the Midwest. It's a really cool thing. So I would encourage our listeners to go check you guys out. And thanks for being on the show. We will be right back with more of the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So we're going to try and crank through 45 things in 6 minutes.
Great segments from both Meg and Janet.
But let's pivot to Liz Schuler. She was at the Davos?
Davos.
What is that?
It's a
summit for billionaires?
Correct. And world leaders, and it's in Switzerland, and we don't get invited. Yet.
Is it Switzerland?
It is Switzerland.
Is it Iceland or Greenland? It appears that Mr. Trump can't.
They're all the same to him.
It's like, we're going to take over Iceland. And Iceland, and wait a second, is it Greenland or Iceland? I'm confused.
Well, he knows that Greenland has ice, so hence his confusion.
And of course, he comes back out with a deal. He's like, we got a deal. Don't worry about it. It's a long time. It's a long time coming, and it's going to be great. Now, more news to come, and it might look something suspiciously like the 1951 deal that we already have.
That's been around for 80 years, yes.
You just can't make this stuff up. Greenland, no. Ridiculous.
No.
But anyway, but Liz Shuler's at this, she's at this, whatever you call it, the symposium.
Forum.
Forum. And I'm glad that she was there because she basically said, listen, you guys keep going the way you're going with AI, and there's going to be a revolution. She
yes.
literally used those words.
Love it.
And I'm like, finally, finally, Liz, go get him. Like, that's what the AFL needs to be doing.
Revolution. Viva la revolution.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, get aggressive.
Yeah.
Right? Throw down the gauntlet. Good for her for standing up. Now,
shout out
now,
Liz.
But here, now let's just, don't just say it. Now let's do something about it. Get yeah. all the AFL unions together, put them in a room and go, every contract needs to have a no AI clause in it, you know, yeah. or something like that. Because otherwise we're going to get steamrolled. We're going to get steamrolled. And so speaking of AI, and I know this is your favorite topic, but I'm going to pivot to Hyundai. They have a plant in Georgia that was raided, right, by ICE, I believe. And
yes,
and they found 612. It was an amazing amount
yeah.
of folks from Korea, South Korea, obviously,
yeah.
that were working in the plant that shouldn't have been here.
And ICE came.
And ICE came and was like, goodbye.
Right.
Right.
But then Trump reversed it. Remember?
Oh, he did?
Those were the only immigrants that he was allowing into the country.
Oh.
Because,
well, guess
remember,
what?
Not because I was like, they do batteries. We
need those.
It's
yeah.
very complicated to do yeah. batteries.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure. That's American right. workers can't do it.
Right.
So, actually, go to the Hyundai's website, and you'll see the job openings.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll see the, you know, okay, where's all the Americans taking the jobs, right? There they are. They're right there in Hyundai. Go work for $15 an hour, $18 an hour, whatever it is, and pay for your insurance and don't have a pension. Sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, anyway, but check this out. Since I didn't know this, Phil, Hyundai in Korea is unionized.
Yes.
Just like Samsung. That's why everybody's like, what about Apple? I was like, that's because Samsung's union. It might not be
overseas,
union
overseas, everywhere is union. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not China.
Not China. Or India, but other places.
So what the Korean labor union said, because Hyundai decided to make the announcement that they are going to not only roll out, but they're going to help build robots.
Robots.
To take the jobs of the workers.
Of the auto workers.
Yes. And they said by 2028, we want those robots in Georgia, right here in Georgia. Robots
Whoa.
In Georgia. And I wonder if the robots are going to look Korean.
Good question.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So what does the Korean labor union say? They said this, absolutely not. Over our dead bodies, literally, we're not going to build a robot. B, a robot will never set foot into this plant unless we have an agreement with the company. And you have to bargain that with us. You have to discuss that with us. Otherwise, it's not happening. And they are literally drawing a line in the sand, a robotic line in the sand.
That is great.
Right?
I saw something, speaking of robots, there was some sort of promotional event with the NBA where maybe it was the company that Hyundai is working with that's making these robots brought one in, and some of the guys from the Dallas Mavericks were just like huddled outside playing with this robot, and it was like it had a jersey on, it was trying to do basketball moves with them, whatever.
Yeah.
And then Kyrie Irving, one of the players for the Mavs, just walked up and he's like, what is this thing? And he pushed it.
Uh-huh.
And the thing fell on its back and completely short-circuited, like, couldn't
good,
move.
Good.
And then all the, like, the engineers came over, like, what did you do? He's like, I just pushed it. I was just playing around. So
right.
I kind of like our chances against robots if literally you can just completely make them irrelevant and unusable by pushing them over. Yes.
It's like those little stupid things that deliver food.
Right.
I've seen them around Chicago.
Exactly,
they
yeah.
need to be kicked over.
The wheels, yeah, I know.
Phil, I swear to God, I saw one that was trying to cross like a giant crosswalk in the middle of a busy intersection, and it wasn't paying attention to red lights or green lights because cars are whizzing by it. It's stopping.
Yeah.
It's got the big eyes that look surprised already.
Yeah.
Those things need to get out of here.
I know.
They're dangerous.
I know.
Right?
Yes.
And so
taking work away from people, like, yeah.
Right.
And not high-paying jobs that you're making more efficient.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, these are delivery people. Like,
you got to punish the delivery people.
Exactly.
Look, it's just like Uber and Lyft, right?
Yeah.
The devil's in details. You know what they're like? Sure. Yeah, no, we're going to organize, right? And then we're all going to be Waymo.
Right.
Right. We're going to be driverless.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to pay the last Uber driver $400,000 an hour.
Yeah.
Because there's only going to be one left.
Exactly.
And we got to make sure that doesn't happen either.
No.
We got a lot of work ahead in year 2026, year of the worker, right?
Yep.
All right, Ed, get better soon.
Yeah, I hope you feel better, man.
Yeah, for sure. And then we will be back next week with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Worker's Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.